Today on JSecio Live, a shocking report. The Steele dossier author says his emails were wiped. We'll talk about that and more today on JSecio Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecio Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to JSecio Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This is an exclusive by the Daily Caller. The Steele dossier author, Christopher Steele, testified he was doing a deposition related to a defamation case he's facing from three Russian oligarchs in the UK. And in this deposition, under oath, he testified that his emails were wiped and that he no longer has documents related to the primary source of the dossier which kicked off the FBI's probe Crossfire Hurricane, which led to the appointment of a special counsel, Bob Mueller, the recusal of the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. And yet Christopher Steele doesn't say who wiped all of his communication, by the way, with Fusion GPS, all of his communication with the source, all of the documents are gone. So he was in this dispute saying that our Inspector General for the Intelligence Community, Than, was wrong and was having to go back and rewrite some of the initial report, which, by the way, there's no evidence of that. But now Christopher Steele has admitted under oath he has nothing, no documents at all. And we've heard this time and time again from Washington. We shouldn't ever hear this again when people make assertions like this against the sitting president of the United States.
And my goodness, Jordan, I mean, whether you want to talk about Lois Lerner, Hillary Clinton, or Christopher Steele, it always seems to be the same when it comes to evidence disappearing, especially when it's in the form of electronic emails or electronic storage. Jordan, I think the American people see through this. But look, for me, it continues to come back to this shocking idea that Christopher Steele was ever seen as a credible source. I mean, we know the FBI knew the dossier couldn't be verified. It wasn't credible. Even Bruce Orr, whose wife Nellie had a vested interest in this based on her work at Fusion GPS, even he knew that, Jordan. We also know that he was terminated for leaking, but the FBI continued to use him as a source anyway, even though he was terminated. They used him through Bruce Orr. And now we know that he wiped, translate that, deleted, or someone deleted his so-called meticulous records with this source. Jordan, it's really truly beyond belief in so many ways. But look, I think it does shed light on one other thing that we learned recently, and that's the fact that John Durham is adding to his investigative team. Jordan, I don't think it takes too much to connect the dots why he might be adding to that team.
Well, yeah, I mean, think about this. This is in another report in the Washington Times. It all ties together today. It's all in our email today, by the way. If you're on the ACLJ.org email list, you've got the American Center for Law and Justice email list. You've got an email from me about another FOIA request we are filing at the American Center for Law and Justice related to this, because now we're learning that the FBI forced the dossier into the intelligence community's assessment of the Russian election interference. And there was so much pushback that all they allowed was an annex to their report about Russian election interference, a two-page summary, not what the FBI wanted, which was the entire dossier. But the FBI said it was so critical to their investigation that it had to be there somewhere, even though they knew that they were putting information in that they could not actually, quote, stand behind. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this with your friends and family. And of course, the stimulus 3.5 has passed. We'll go back through. It passed exactly how the Senate put it through. So we'll go back through what the numbers are, what is available to you, what's available to your employers. We're going to go back through that as well. 1-800-684-3110. And remember, April, a matching challenge month for the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation online if you're able to make a donation financially at aclj.org. Donate today.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at ACLJ.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org.
Let's go through the list, folks. Hillary Clinton probably being the most famous of the missing emails. Peter Strzok, Lisa Page from the Crossfire Hurricane and Mueller team from the FBI and from the Mueller special counsel team, both when they were removed from the special counsel's team because of their conflict, because of their political bias against President Trump. When they were removed, guess what happened to their phones and their emails? Wiped. Totally wiped. So you've got it with Lois Lerner back during the IRS days. They, you know, her computer supposedly crashed and they couldn't recover the hard drive, even with all the technology that's available to the IRS, to the FBI. And now we have Christopher Steele testifying under oath in a proceeding in the UK where he's being sued for defamation by three Russian oligarchs who said he just made up the information in the dossier that referred to them. He's now saying under oath that he has absolutely none of the documents, none of the emails, none of the sourcing. None of it. It was all wiped from his electronic devices. Now, he does not go into detail in this report, in this deposition, how they were wiped or who wiped them. Did he do it? You know, it's interesting. The timeline he lays out, he wiped this all about 5 days before the dossier was leaked by BuzzFeed. So he was all this information that was going to be in this dossier, this salacious and unverified information, to quote Jim Comey, it was all wiped before it got leaked. Think about that. And so now Christopher Steele has no documents, no information, and you realize what this put the country through. But because the FBI insisted, and this is in another article today out of the Washington Times, that the intelligence community's assessment of Russian interference had to include the Steele dossier, at least a reference. So they did it by an annex in just a two-page summary. But they said it was so critical to their work at the FBI. Now, why was it so critical? Well, it's because this is what the FBI used, ultimately, to get FISA warrants. We know that. So it was critical for them to somehow get this included, even though they, quote, did not stand behind the material at the FBI. It was critical to get it included because they knew that if they didn't have it included, if they could not get it included, that it would have serious consequences, cause, quote, a major problem in their investigation. You mean a major problem because they would have nothing to go off of to get a FISA warrant? We're taking your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. It just stinks of a cover-up. It reeks, again, of the typical Washington swamp. So even in the middle of COVID-19, we're following this closely as well and taking your phone calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Robert's called in from Maryland Online 2. Robert, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah. Hi, Jordan. Hi, Stan. I wanted to ask the both of you, do either one of you have any idea who could have possibly deleted or wiped out the documentation and the emails and the other sourcing and communications that Christopher Steele used to put the Steele dossier together and then eventually have it leaked out, working with Fusion GPS and then having it leaked out that they believed that President Trump was involved in Russia collusion?
I mean, here's the problem. He doesn't, in the deposition that we have available to us right now, Thad, Christopher Steele does not say he wiped it or that some other, like Fusion GPS, or that it was hacked and wiped. He doesn't make any excuses or give any information. All he says, I'll read it. This is the question and answer from his deposition. The question is, the primary subsource debriefings by Orbis, that's Christopher Steele's consulting company, were meticulously documented and recorded. That's what Christopher Steele said, meticulously documented and recorded. And he answered at the time. Then the question, but none of these documents exist, so they've all been destroyed. Answer, at the time when we wrote the report. But you say it was meticulous, but nobody is in a position to check that because the records don't exist? Answer by Christopher Steele, they no longer exist, but that is my assertion indeed. My assertion under oath. They no longer exist. Than, he gives no explanation for why they no longer exist, but it stinks, it reeks when it was all we now know wiped clean just days before the dossier gets leaked to the public.
Jordan, it takes an extraordinary amount of faith, more faith than I have, that it was coincidence that 5 days before the dossier was leaked, that was when the wipe happened, and that it happened without Christopher Steele's knowledge. So while it might not be in that report, Jordan, that is just too convenient for me to believe it's a coincidence. Here's the one point of optimism I would give you, though. I think that those communications and how that purging happened, I think it will eventually come out. And here's why I believe that, Jordan. Two reasons. First of all, the commitment on the part of the Attorney General to get to the bottom of it through John Durham and others. But secondly, Jordan, how many layers of communications we are getting communications from. Think about Bruce Orr, who was inside the FBI. Think about his wife, Nellie Orr, who worked for Fusion GPS, who interfaced with Christopher Steele. Jordan, I think under the Attorney General's directions, while Christopher Steele's communications may be gone, communications from the other side, from the recipients, from the people he was dialoguing with, Jordan, I think those investigators will be able to turn that up. But I just want to circle back to your point. He might not be telling us why they disappeared, but I do not believe that they were wiped 5 days prior to the dossier being leaked without his knowledge. I don't have that much faith, Jordan.
I mean, he goes on in the deposition, and we're just getting pieces of this from the Daily Caller. After he says, I have no record of it, and the question from the attorney goes, you have no record of anything, have you? Answer by Christopher Steele, I haven't got any records relating to the creation of 112. Now, 112 was just one part of the report related to these three Russian oligarchs suing him for defamation. But the questioner goes a step further. Indeed, you have no information relating to any of the other materials or in the memorandum from the dossier. Answer from Christopher Steele, no. They were wiped in early January 2017. What occurred in early January 2017? The leak of the Steele dossier published by BuzzFeed. And then the response back from the attorney, yes, you see, I suggest that you were wrong about your recollection that the server leak was mentioned to you in July 2016. Do you think that might be correct? He goes on, he tries to explain this away. I mean, this is not meticulous. This sounds like meticulous deleting or Kobe's meticulous records, and then he leaking those. Again, it just goes back to, remember what this all led to. It led to the creation of a special counsel. But first, Crossfire Hurricane, which was led by Peter Strzok, who hated the president, and Lisa Page. They then both get hired by the special counsel's team. They're let go by the special counsel's team when the special counsel is notified about their political bias. But yet, where do their records go? Their phones? Their computers? Oh yeah, they're wiped clean. Hillary Clinton's server? Wiped. Bleach bit. Lois Lerner's computer crashed. Hard drive crashed. Can't recover anything. And this, again, it goes back to it, Than. What this led to was Crossfire Hurricane, which led to Bob Mueller. And even though the Mueller report found nothing, I think it led right to Ukraine and the phone call and ultimately to an attempted impeachment and removal of the President of the United States. And it all started with a guy who supposedly did meticulous research, this ex-spy Christopher Steele, and then deleted all of it.
Yeah, and I think it flows from the top, ultimately, Jordan. I really do. I've said it many times, but I think it flowed from the seventh floor of the FBI. When you've got a director of the FBI who brags about the meticulous records that he keeps, he's very careful to document every conversation that he has, but then it becomes clear that he's only careful to document to cover his own trail because he's plenty willing to leak them to a friend who will leak them to the press and violate all manner of secrecy or security when it comes to protecting the United States or the United States officials. So, Jordan, I think it was just an atmosphere inside the intelligence community where this kind of thing was seen as permissible because James Comey and others in leadership would do it. And again, Jordan, I would maybe also circle back to this. I mean, we knew that there were 17 heirs across Carter Page's applications when it came to the FISA court. And now we learned last week that 100% of the applications that the inspector general reviewed had significant errors in them. Jordan, that's why the Inspector General is coming back to the United States Senate to testify, and that's why I continue to believe people are going to be prosecuted over this.
Folks, that's why the ACLJ continues its work to understand and really uncover the FBI abuses here. We're filing another FOIA. You'll learn about that in the ACLJ email you received today from me. We are working hard on this. We're working hard to defend life across the country. We're working hard on to answer your COVID-19 questions. We'll do that as well. Support the work of the ACLJ. Remember, we have a matching challenge this month in April, and donating online is the best way because it's very difficult for us to access the hard snail mail, the checks that come in. So go to ACLJ.org, donate online, have your donation double the impact, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at ACLJ.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to get more into this matter. You can't just believe this. I mean, Christopher Steele testifying under oath this deposition in the UK that, well, he no longer has his emails. They were wiped. He no longer has any documents related to the primary source of the dossier, which led to Crossfire Hurricane, which led to the appointment of a special counsel to try and find collusion or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia, which led to FISA warrants on American citizens and spying on the Trump campaign and the Trump transition, which then led to a Mueller report which found none of that, no collusion, no obstruction. But then this, I guess, just urged by the House Intel Committee led by Adam Schiff to keep going, that there must be something here we can get the president on. So they went to a short call the president had with the president of Ukraine, and they made that into an impeachable offense and impeached the president in the House. And, of course, the president was acquitted by the Senate. But all of this ties together, and it all starts with Christopher Steele, who now, in a deposition, says he has access to no documents at all. No documents at all. Catherine on Facebook writes, why would he say documents or recordings were wiped? Do you think they ever even existed? Than, I do have a question about whether or not Christopher Steele, the entire dossier, was a work of complete fiction, basically.
Oh, sure. So do I. But I have no doubt that he had documents of some sort. I don't believe they substantiated the dossier, but I believe he had communications with all sorts of people inside the FBI, particularly Bruce Ohr. I'm sure he had consultations with the other people that were working on compiling the dossier, Jordan. And quite frankly, that's why I think this deletion of them 5 days before the leaking would have been motivated to do that. Look, if he had some sort of inclination that the dossier that he could not substantiate was going to be made public, what would he be incentivized to do? He'd be incentivized to delete all sorts of communications that then could come back on him, that he knew the dossier that he had done the work on couldn't be substantiated. Now, he would also be incentivized, Jordan, to say exactly what we know he said, is that I had meticulous records. I kept meticulous records, but guess what? I don't have them now. I believe he doesn't have them now, but what I don't believe, Jordan, is that they substantiated the dossier. In fact, I would tell you, if we had them, I think they would show exactly the opposite, that he knew, just like Bruce Ohr did, that the dossier could not be substantiated.
You know, I think it just gets to this bigger problem, of course, of government corruption and why we must continue to expose and drain the swamp. Megan, with a great question, called in from North Carolina on line 3. Megan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call. I actually have two questions. One is, what would happen to us if we were to delete this kind of evidence? And two, does the NSA have any of these missing information?
So I think, listen, the information, could it be found? You know, I don't have enough intelligence information to know. And remember, Christopher Steele was an intelligence agent. So if he wanted to wipe this clean, he probably knew how. What kind of technology to use, whether it was smashing iPhones like the Clinton campaign and BleachBit and other technological ways to get rid of this information. But then I kind of go to you, and then I'm going to answer that first part, Megan, about what would happen to an ordinary citizen in a trial like Christopher Steele. Well, I can answer that really quickly. If you were in a defamation trial and you needed to prove, hey, listen, this wasn't defamation because I've got all these facts to back it up. At least it wasn't done in a malicious way. And that, you know, defamation is a pretty high bar, but what you have to show is that you at least weren't just doing it maliciously, that you had facts to base this on. If you go and under oath and say, I've got no facts, I've got no documents, everything was wiped clean, and it may have been wiped clean by me, because he doesn't say who else did it, so that kind of implicates him, right? I mean, if he's not pointing the finger at anyone else or any kind of technological problem, he says wiped. So someone did that intentionally, and it points to him. Well, then he doesn't have a lot to fight back with. I mean, what evidence will he use to refute the allegations of defamation when he says, I got no documents. I got nothing I can show to you. I mean, but so Than, to the second part of the first part of the question, an ordinary citizen in an ordinary trial in the United States would be in serious trouble, especially if they were if the government had brought them to trial for any kind of criminal matter and all their evidence, all of their whether it was all their financial information or anything else, suddenly had been wiped clean. When they had no documents and no evidence to support their position. So basically, they would have nothing to defend themselves with.
It'd be destruction of evidence and obstruction of justice. I don't really have much doubt about that, Jordan. I would say a couple of things, though. First of all, the point you made about the difference in technological sophistication between Christopher Steele and, say, Hillary Clinton. Look, we all knew when she said, you mean like wipe it with a cloth, that she was not being genuine. However, we also know that she's probably not an IT expert. So maybe that slides a little bit more easily than it could have. Christopher Steele is, Jordan, this is what he does. He gathers information. So there was not an accidental deletion of his information, whether he did it or someone else did it. He would have known how to back up and secure his information. He can't be exculpated from that. But the other thing I would say, Jordan, here's again what gives me comfort, and I want to keep coming back to this because the Attorney General, Bill Barr, has been very scrupulous on this fact, and he has now said that people were trying to, quote, sabotage the president. And here's the line that gives me hope, Jordan. He says, if people broke the law and we can establish that with evidence, they will be prosecuted. And Jordan, I know we're talking about evidence disappearing on today's broadcast, but guess what? I think that evidence can be uncovered through a different means. Christopher Steele may have deleted his side of those communications. Jordan, I'll make a prediction for you. Sometime over the next year, as John Durham and other people's investigations start coming out, I think we're going to see these communications, but we're going to see them because they were able to draw them from the other side of the communication.
Yeah, I mean, remember, John Durham, as Stan pointed out, is actually adding prosecutors to his team even during the COVID-19 crisis. He actually drove his car from Connecticut down to Washington, D.C. to make sure his investigation, both and including his criminal investigation, continues. So he's adding to his team, looking at the origins and potential criminality of the origins of the Russia investigation into and the Russia collusion conspiracy and Crossfire Hurricane. And we've got this email out today, and I think it's important. It says that there's more shocking abuse by the deep state FBI. It just keeps coming to light. And now the FBI is under now fired Director Comey's leadership has been exposed misusing the FISA court to spy on American citizens. And newly unsealed evidence in the IG's report has unearthed that the FBI knew it was using tainted evidence like the Steele dossier. So what are we doing at the ACLJ? Well, the intelligence community actually filed in federal court trying to throw this case out. We're working on a reply right now. They were actually defending their conduct in one of our lawsuits. We're working on the reply now. We need your support. Our cases continue. Our work continues at the ACLJ to battle the deep state, to battle for life. This is an important time and a great time to donate to the ACLJ because your donations are double the impact of your donation. ACLJ.org. If you want to get to the bottom of this, help us get there. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Be part of our matching challenge.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're talking primarily today about this magical disappearance of evidence that seems so often to happen inside the federal bureaucracy when it comes to the various investigations into both candidate Trump and President Trump and those inside his administration. But I did want to very quickly, before we go back to Jordan, give you a quick update on what happened yesterday in the House of Representatives on this stimulus package to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program. Jordan, I know we teased this on yesterday's broadcast, and the president is about ready to sign this bill because the House passed it last night overwhelmingly by a vote of 388-5. And so, Jordan, I know you wanted to talk about this, but I think just the top line summary is about to be signed into law. And if you're a small business out there that was waiting for this replenishing, even though your financial institution might not send that application to the Small Business Administration until Monday, you need to be in contact with them, Jordan, this afternoon. Have your documents in line. Be ready to go. Yep. That money is about ready to start flowing again.
Yeah, and here's the money. So $310 billion in new payment, employee payment protection program loans. That's $310 billion new dollars. $30 billion is being set aside to financial institutions with less than $10 billion in assets. So smaller banks, if you do your business with a smaller bank. $30 billion set aside for financial institutions with $10 to $50 billion. So kind of medium-sized banking and financial institutions. Know that about your bank. And then there's going to be money set aside, of course, for the SBA because they have had to go from giving out about $30 billion in these loan and grants in a year to trying and distribute what is close to $660 billion. And they've already distributed $349 billion of that. So they've got to distribute another $310 billion. There's also a $75 billion increase for hospitals and healthcare facilities and $25 billion for testing for COVID-19. And included in this is a $60 billion increase in economic injury disaster loans and grants. Than, explain that part, that $60 billion economic injury disaster loans and grants program by the SBA.
Yeah, so this is a program that was already available to small businesses through the Small Business Administration, Jordan. It's basically loans that are available to small businesses who go through an economic disaster. Clearly, this one would apply to that. It's not going to be as widely available to the small businesses that are listening to this broadcast for a number of reasons. Number one, you have to meet qualifications that were already in place. It's also not as easily convertible into forgivable grants as long as you use it on payroll and other things. I'm not at all trying to discourage people from looking into whether or not they qualify. They certainly should. But Jordan, it's not as sweepingly available because of the coronavirus pandemic as the Paycheck Protection Program. That one is going to apply to a lot more of the traditional small businesses listening to us who had to either put people offline or are about to put people offline because of the pandemic. You can certainly look into them. But Jordan, the Paycheck Protection Program is going to apply to more of the small businesses that are listening to us.
So, folks, I just want you to understand right now, as Than said, it is again time to be your own advocate. So, Than, we expect the president to sign this. These funds should be available, what, by next week in the banks, I guess, because today's Friday?
Yeah, so the program will be back online this afternoon, and from the federal government side, things will be up and running. I think it is going to vary based on financial institutions and just based on a sort of a general summary I did. I think most of them are not going to send applications until Monday. It's just going to take them a little bit of while to get that online. But Jordan, all of the apparatus is in line, so I would expect applications to be taken and approved very quickly in this. I know a neighbor who was already funded by it in just a matter of days, so I think come Monday, everything's going to be fully back up and running.
All right, folks, when we return, we continue to take your phone calls. If you've got questions about that and the new 3.5 stimulus, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Unfortunately, we have hit over 50,000 Americans who have died from COVID-19, an unfortunate and a grave number to hit. We're also talking about this dossier matter as well, taking your calls on that. Remember, support the work of the ACLJ Matching Challenge at ACLJ.org. Donate today if you can. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at aclj.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org. For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at aclj.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at aclj.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at aclj.org.
On what is being called Stimulus 3.5 in the COVID-19 response by the federal government. We've talked to you about the new payment loans. And so, again, for employers out there looking for those loans, you need to start being your own advocate today. Start working with the banks today. The legislation has passed both the House and the Senate. The president said he was going to sign it last night. You need to be ready to go get your paperwork, as Stan said, in order. Get ready to go and apply for these loans. If anybody's having issues with their stimulus checks that were supposed to go out, we're still trying to help you through that. If you have not gotten it by direct deposit or maybe have not yet received it in the mail and have questions, we'll take that, 1-800-684-3110. But we're also talking about really what is just unbelievable, that Christopher Steele, under oath, in a deposition in the UK, testified that his emails on the dossier were wiped and that he no longer has documents related to anything in the dossier. He doesn't say who wiped them, but that implication is that it was done intentionally, and he's not pointing the finger at anyone else or anyone nefarious. So the implication would be he did it, or someone tied to him did it at his direction. Now, does that mean that Fusion GPS would not have any of the documents? No. Does it mean that Bruce Orr's emails were wiped? No. Maybe not. Though in the past, we've seen a lot of DOJ and FBI officials and IRS officials and secretaries of state have their emails wiped and their documents wiped from their computers or laptops or their phones. But as Stan said, there should be other places to find this information, and U.S. Attorney John Durham is staffing up as we speak because, again, looking at where the origins of the Russia probe, and this ties back into this push, another article in the Washington Times, this push by the FBI when the intelligence community was going to issue its initial assessment on Russian interference in the election, in the 2016 election. The FBI, even though the intelligence community didn't want to put it there, pushed very aggressively to at least get a footnote or an annex to their report. And ultimately, they got an annex to their report about the Steele dossier. They got a two-page summary that they believe was critical to their investigation. And then we know why it was critical is because it was the only basis for Crossfire Hurricane. It was the only basis to go into the FISA court and get a warrant to spy on an American citizen, Carter Page, and spy on the Trump campaign and Trump transition.
Yeah, it was the only thing they had to go on, and it couldn't be substantiated, Jordan. I mean, look, I think when you circle back to the Christopher Steele deletion, he knew exactly when this wiping happened, and we know exactly when the dossier was leaked to BuzzFeed. They were only 5 days apart, and I just don't believe that could be a coincidence. And if you want to tie it into the FISA report, Jordan, this is why I brought this up earlier, but I really do think it's important for people to understand this, because there are two main problems here. The first one is the one that we've been focusing on mostly today, that this seems to have been a deliberate action by the intelligence community to use information that they knew was unreliable and to depend on it for the issuance of many of these investigations. But the second thing, Jordan, is just how widespread it is. I mean, we knew previously that there were 17 errors across these Carter Page applications. And at the time, here's what the Inspector General said about that. He said, the concern is that this is such a high-profile, important case. If it happened here, is this indicative of a wider problem? And we will only know that when we complete our audit. Or is it isolated to this event? And as they dug into that investigation a little bit more, Jordan, they looked at 29 FISA applications. Guess how many of those 29 they found significant and substantive errors in them? All of them. All 29 of them. So whether you're talking about the dossier or the FISA applications or any of this that I think is a systemic effort to undermine the president of the United States, that second point, just how widespread it is both a problem, but Jordan, circling back to your original question, that's why I think the evidence still comes out, because so many people were involved, they're going to find it from one source or another. Okay, I think maybe we lost Jordan for just a minute. We'll reconnect with him in just one moment. We want to go to the phone calls. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to line 5. Mary Ellen is calling from Illinois. Yep. Mary Ellen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Oh, hello, fellas.
Hey, Mary Ellen.
Yes, as I'm sitting here listening to this, suddenly it's like, well, Chris, what's her name? Hillary got away with this. And I mean, they're all part of the same gang. And I think about Durham and Barr. And I know that that's a very hard job if they've got deep state people at the lower levels maybe resisting or trying to, you know, obstruct their securing in their information in their investigation. So I say, your listeners need to pray for some divine strategies for Durham and Barr so that they can get these, and for their staff, so that they're able to get all the evidence that they need to bring these people to justice and to, you know, put the gang away.
Here's the thing, you know, Mary Ellen, Christopher Steele is in the UK now, and he's in UK court. I'm not an expert in their defamation laws. We have those laws in our country. I know in the U.S., that's a very high bar to prove. So if you bring a defamation charge against someone, it's a very high bar to prove. You have to prove malicious intent, that they intended to defame you, that they basically had no information that wasn't reportable news, it wasn't based on fact, but it was done only with the intent to maliciously harm you. Not because it was newsworthy, not because it was important. Now, Christopher Steele, in these depositions, saying, I have no documents anymore. That could, in the U.S. courts, would be pretty damaging to his defamation affirmative defense. Because how could he prove it wasn't done maliciously? How could he prove it was done based on facts and substance, and it was not done just to harm those individuals, the Russians who are bringing this, saying he totally made it up about them, and of course, the president. But Than, what we really focus on is not just Christopher Steele, who's a UK citizen, but it's the Americans that were running the FBI and who were at the DOJ who had the contact with Christopher Steele. They should have the information. They should have more of the communications, and I'm sure John Durham is going to them.
Yeah, it's especially damaging that he says he doesn't have the information after he bragged about how meticulous it was. But I'm with you, Jordan. As much as, you know, I maybe would like to see Christopher Steele held to account, I don't care nearly as much about him as I do the federal officials who swore an oath to protect American citizens and to do their job in a way that looked out for U.S. interests and protect American interests. Jordan, if Bruce Orr or Nellie Orr or Jim Comey or Peter Strzok or Lisa Page or really anybody inside that apparatus had access to this information and they knew what Christopher Steele knew, that the information was not reliable, and then they proceeded to use it anyway, Jordan, I care an awful lot more about that than I do what happens to Christopher Steele or his defamation lawsuit. And here, again, I think it's really important to keep coming back to this. This is why I do have hope. The Attorney General, Bill Barr, if people broke the law and we can establish that with the evidence, again, that's the evidence that we've been talking about, maybe collecting from another source, U.S. officials, they will be prosecuted. Jordan, if they're going to be prosecuted, what would John Durham need to do? He'd need to staff up. He's staffing up.
I mean, listen to Attorney General Barr talking about this entire investigation. And Mary Ellen, I think it gets right to your point. Let's take a listen. Bite six.
Without any basis, they started this investigation of his campaign. And even more concerning, actually, is what happened after the campaign, a whole pattern of events while he was president, to sabotage the presidency, or at least had the effect of sabotaging the presidency.
Sabotaging the presidency of the United States. Now, when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. We've got a couple calls on the PPP funds. We've got calls on the small business loans. We've got the calls about nonprofits. Are they available? Is it available to them? What if I had applied for a loan and then the money ran out? Should I apply again? We're going to answer those questions when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, and we'll continue to talk about this new information that Christopher Steele has said, all the information I had about the dossier, all the documents I put together, all the emails, everything I had electronically, everything has been wiped. I've got nothing. Nothing. And this was the basis to appoint a special counsel, which found nothing. Surprise, surprise. Because it was based off nothing. But then it led to Ukraine. It led to an impeachment. Of course, that led to an acquittal. Nothing. But it dragged the country through this. And now we're dealing with COVID-19, a real crisis in our country. And our legal teams are hard at work on that as well. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, for our final segment. I encourage you, be part of our matching challenge at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double the impact of your donation. Only runs through the month of April. Until the end of this month, donate online at ACLJ.org and double the impact of your donation. We're on court. We're in court on this very matter.
For 30 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has been dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of you, we've seen great success in the courts and Congress concerning the issues that matter most to you and your families. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
Our decades-long commitment to the Constitution and the rule of law is at the center of everything we do. The bottom line, our work could not take place without your generous support.
Now more than ever, during this time of uncertainty, the ACLJ needs your support. Consider making a gift online at ACLJ.org. Donating online is safe and secure, and an online gift at ACLJ.org can be put to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to continue the battle against abortion giant Planned Parenthood, to protect Christians facing persecution, and so much more. Every dollar makes a difference. Stand with the ACLJ today. Support our work online at ACLJ.org. It's a critical time for our nation and our world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important. And during this time of uncertainty, there's no better way to support the ACLJ than through online giving. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
We truly appreciate your financial support. Without it, it would be impossible to do our work here and around the globe. And the best way to support our work is to make your financial gifts online at ACLJ.org.
Online giving, simple and secure. And by making an online gift, your support goes to work immediately, enabling the ACLJ to defend human life, to stand up for our good friend Israel, to work to uncover the corrupt deep state in Washington, and so much more. Make a difference today. Support the work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. Every dollar makes a difference. Give today online at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to go right to your phone calls in this segment of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk about the FBI issue or questions about the stimulus that the president is about to sign into law, again, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to start on line two with Jeff calling in from California. Jeff, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a small business owner who applied for the SBA loan and didn't get funding. Am I still in line, or do I have to reapply?
Jeff, I would reapply. Is the bank that you're working with the bank that you do business with?
Yes.
Okay, is it one of the – would you say it's a larger bank, smaller bank, just to give us kind of an idea? Don't have to give the name.
One of the biggest.
Okay, so they're going to get a lot of resources. I would go to them today. Go to your banker right after you talk to us and reapply because I think you need to get to the top of the line again. I think you want to be at the front again and not somehow maybe have your loan lost there because it didn't go through last time because the funds ran out. Dan, you agree?
Yeah, definitely check with your financial institution today. Here's what my hope would be, Jordan. My hope would be that they have held that application since they're the one interfacing with the SBA,
sure.
And you would be able to keep your place in line and follow up on it. But do not assume that. Check with your financial institution.
No.
And, Jordan, I totally agree with you. Even though they might not resend it until Monday, check with them this afternoon because that apparatus is up and rolling again.
Yeah, so get it involved. Make sure your banker is on top of it, Jeff. Make sure you're being your own advocate, and your banker is advocating for you. So go in with those questions. Did you keep the loan applications that didn't go through because the money ran out? Did you keep those in order? Where am I in that order? And should I put in a new application and just kind of get their feel for it? And if you feel like you're not getting a great information from them, I would put in a new application there and maybe even find another financial institution and put in another application there as well. Remember, you're only going to get one loan, but you can go to different places to attempt to get that loan. I encourage people to do that, to take action now. By the way, in breaking news, just about 10 minutes ago, the president signed this legislation. So as Stan said, this is all going live. As we speak to you right now, it is all going live. It is no longer just House and Senate approved legislation. This has been signed by the president. It is the law that these funds will be available. Let's go back to the phones. Another great question about the PPP funds. Jerry in Texas on line one. Jerry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I work for a local nonprofit here in San Antonio. It's a museum. It's a nonprofit. Are they available for these funds?
Absolutely. So, Than, this is another great part about what was done through PPP is that nonprofits, that includes churches, that includes religious organizations, and it would include a museum as well, are all available. Usually they are not, but they are a type of business, a nonprofit business. They are eligible for these PPP loans, and that can turn into grants that you don't have to pay back if you follow the rules. So absolutely, the museum could qualify. You need to talk to those banker today. And Than, this was a big victory in the initial part of this, when we kind of did 3.0, and now we're in 3.5, was to make sure that nonprofits, religious organizations, churches, those who typically would not be allowed to apply for SBA loans because they were tax exempt, that they were allowed this time because the government realized and the Trump administration realized they play an important role in our country, whether it's a museum or a religious organization or a nonprofit that helps the community, and it doesn't matter if they're associated with a religious group or not, and that they need to keep their people on payroll as well because that helps the economy and it helps them to continue to serve their communities. And so absolutely, this was something we fought for to get included because in the past, under normal operating procedure, these kind of groups would not be available to apply for these loans. But this time around, they absolutely are.
Yeah, Jordan, this was probably the portion of the original stimulus package that we worked the hardest on to make sure that 501c3s, including churches, were included, because they were definitely impacted by the stay-at-home orders or guidance that was issued. Definitely had payroll that they needed protection as well. So you're right. Typically, Small Business Administration loan programs are not able to be provided to churches and other 501c3s. The original definition included them. They just have to meet the same standards as another small business, have to typically have under 500 employees, and had to base their payroll based on when the effective date was. There was a date in February, I believe it was the middle of February, that had to meet that criteria. But Jordan, basically a 501c3 qualifies under the same criteria as a small business under this package. And under the extension, the replenishing that the president just signed, the definition is absolutely the same. No changes there. So if you're a church or a 501c3 that did not get in the first tranche, now would be the time to reapply.
All right. Again, folks, this is an important time because the president has signed this. It's ready to go. So, Than, we believe that these funds, people should start talking to their financial institutions today. Funds likely could be dispersed as early. I mean, could they be today or will it likely be Monday?
Well, as far as dispersed, that may take a couple of days, Jordan, because an application has to be received. Typically, funding of the loan does take a few days. But look, everything that I heard from the administration as I talked to them today, that the Treasury Department and the SBA will be up and running this afternoon. Now, remember, it's a financial institution that is going to be doing that interface with the SBA for you. And I think a lot of them will probably be pulling the applications back together and then resubmitting them on Monday, hopefully for approval and disbursement later in the week. But Jordan, that's why I think it's so important to talk to your financial institution today, because come Monday at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or whenever they open up, I think they'll have a whole batch of these applications ready to go. And you want to make sure you are in one of those that is in the first resubmission to the SBA.
And what do we expect next from Congress? I know that there's been talk about, you know, maybe infrastructure projects, maybe looking at towns and cities and direct grants and loans to cities and towns as they have also faced the financial impact. Do you think there, you know, is number four? I know that Democrats are working on number four, but Mitch McConnell has tried to kind of slow that down. Where are we on the next phase of this? A lot of people have questions like, hey, if this goes on for another month in my state, am I going to get another stimulus check to try and, you know, keep myself afloat and be able to pay by basic bills?
Yeah, so you're right, Jordan. Both the House and the Senate come back on May 4th, and I'm sure this will be on the table. Like you said, the Democrats want more state-based funding. There is a question of whether or not a more individual stimulus will be needed, or whether or not maybe the Paycheck Protection Program needs more funding. I think the prudent thing would be to, when that time comes, May 4th is just a week and a half away, let's see where we're at on these various programs. The president has said he wants infrastructure to be a part of that if and when it happens. But I think in a fast-moving situation like this, Jordan, at least my opinion, I think they probably would do well to not make those decisions now, but reevaluate a week from now and see which areas need the most assistance.
All right, folks, let me encourage you on this Friday, an important time too for our country, as the president has signed this stimulus, the second stimulus, into law. And that some of your states, state you may be in, may be planning to reopen in phase one at the end of the month or even sooner. It's a critical time. There's so much going on. Support the work of the ACLJ. We're working on all these cases. In the month of April, your donation is matched, our matching challenge. Donate online if you can at aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's matching challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.